Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And I trust that you are well and the Lord is keeping and watching over your life. We carry on with our study and we're in Colossians chapter 4. And we've been seeing in a previous study of how the Christian home is supposed to be founded on the basis of love, on the basis of the new man, that if everyone puts on the new man, that is holy and beloved, you know, putting on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, then we are able to establish and we are able to live according to the pattern of God, and which is wives submitting to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord, husbands loving your wives and not being bitter towards them, children obeying their parents in all things, for this pleases the Lord, and fathers not provoking your children. We also saw how the attitude of the worker, how are we to work in the workplace? We're supposed to work not as eye service or as men pleasers just because their eyes is on us, but we should do it in sincerity of heart where we fear God and we do everything as unto the Lord. So that is a principle of work. Anything that you do it as if you're doing it for Christ. Imagine if the work that you are doing, if you're doing it for Christ, would you have done it the same way you're doing it for your supervisor, for your boss? So anytime we understand that, then it calls us to the place of honesty, it calls us to the place of diligence. And likewise also, if you compare how also God admonishes the masters, that they're also supposed to treat their workers fairly, they're also supposed to treat, you know, those who work for them with a fair pay. So God is the master of all. Everyone must know that there is a master that is above all, that is able to see through, that is able to bring the judge. Remember, even in marriage, it says, I stand as the witness between you and the wife of your youth, you know, because you've clothed her with violence, you've treated her wrongly. So when God stands as a witness between all these things, I don't think it is a good thing to fall into the judgment of God. Rather, correct yourself and do the right thing. Do administer justice. When you administer justice, then you're able to be established. And when justice flows like a river, then all the blessings of God flow, because that is the character of God, that is the nature of God, and that is how God expects us to live our lives. Now, in Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to read, we'll read from verse 2, and this is Paul now coming to the conclusion of his admonition to the church in Colossae. Remember, these are some of the last letters that he's writing. He's writing while he's in prison. This Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, these are farewell letters. And he went into great depth to write about the mystery of Christ. We've seen now, he says, now put on your new man. And then now he's coming to the conclusion. Now, what would you consider are his core messages? Look at verse 2. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Verse 3, meanwhile, praying also for us that God will open to us a door for the word, that is a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. You see, Paul understood the foundation of his faith. You know, Paul was a praying man. And even from the moment he got saved, remember his eyes, when he encountered the Lord, he was blind and he went, you know, all the way into Damascus, was led into Damascus, and God comes to Ananias, the minister, and he tells him that I want you to go, you know, to the straight way and go to the house and find a man called Saul, and you will find him praying. And I pray and that you open his eyes and that you also, you know, guide him. So you can see how Ananias complains. Is this not man sent to come and torture the Jews and all that? But then you can see the words of God. You will find him praying. So Saul was already praying for 3 days where he ate nothing, he drank nothing from the moment of his salvation. And he understood that the power in the believer is in prayer, and it speaks of two aspects. One is the earnestness. Continue earnestly. That means that prayer is not something that we do only in days of emergency. It's not something that we do only when there is trouble or when we need an answer or a breakthrough. But you see, if you understand that prayer is supposed to be continuously, continue earnestly in prayer. Remember, the earnest prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It avails much. That means there is a heartfeltness that prayer that is from a righteous person brings forth great power. And this is the earnestness that comes from the Spirit of God. This is the passion that comes, that indeed your heart is part of it. It's not just a ritual that, I'm just praying, I'm just exposing myself, but there is an earnestness that comes from the Spirit of God. The Bible says, be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. What is the vigilance here? This is the aspect of praying and seeing. Remember, Jesus will tell his disciples, can't you men just watch and pray with me? That means that there is a certain vigilance. There is a certain watching that we do in the Spirit when we pray. We are scouting for ideas. We are scouting for signals from the Spirit. We are trying to hear from the Spirit. Is there someone that we need to pray for? Is there an area of sickness that needs to be addressed? Is there a pain maybe someone is having on the shoulder that needs healing? And as you minister that word, as you release that word, that person receives their healing. You see, when we understand the things of the Spirit, is that vigilance that God calls us to, that he calls us to that place of understanding, to that place of watching and saying, think about Christ. You know, when the Bible says, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and the light shined upon them, and Moses and Elijah appeared, and they spoke with him concerning the things that he was going to encounter, the things that he was going to face in Jerusalem. Whenever we pray, we bring ourselves into the place of encounters, into the place of revelation. We activate our prophetic gifts, our prophetic sight, that God is able to open our eyes, is open to open our ears, is also able to open our hearts to understand. This is the place where we get the things that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for the saints, for those who love him, and yet God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. How will you activate the Spirit so that you can be able to hear, you can be able to receive from God? It is only through prayer. It is only through taking your time to pray. And that's why he said, be vigilant, be watchful. And then he says, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. One of the biggest challenges of today is the lack of thanksgiving. When men cannot return the glory back to God, they cannot come back to God and just say, God, I am grateful for all that you have done. I'm grateful for all that you are doing. It is necessary that each and every one of us to come to that place where we are thankful to God, because it is God who has done a mighty thing in our lives. Everything, being alive, you have to thank God. There are those, even just waking up, it is a reason to thank God. There are those who thought they will make it today, but they didn't. They slept and they didn't wake up. And unless we come to the throne of mercy and just offer thanksgiving. Remember, thanksgiving is a password. In fact, the Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You know, so there is a password. It is a password by which we enter the courts of God. And you can think of how David was when he was rebuilding the tabernacle and bringing the tabernacle of David. He will bring praise. He will enter the gates with thanksgiving. He will enter with praise. And you can see the impact that the life of David had. David's life was very impactful on the basis that he understood the things that move God. There is a place of understanding that God brings us to. And that's why Paul tells us, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And then he says, meanwhile also, pray also for us. Paul was not saying that, I'm so powerful. No. He knows the value of the prayers of the saints. And he calls forth the saints and he says, saints also, you pray for us. And what should be your prayer? That God should open to us a door for the word, a door of utterance. That word there is logos, a door for the logos. What is logos? Logos is the divine expression of the Christ. That we are able to speak the mysteries about Christ. We are able to bring revelation to people. You see, when we reveal Christ, when we find Christ in the scriptures, and we're able to reveal him to people, Christ in the Old Testament, Christ in the New Testament, and when people understand who Christ is, and they don't only just see Christ as Lord and as being distant, but also seek the mystery of Christ, Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we come to that full understanding of the expression of who Christ is and that we are not away from him, he is in us. And beyond that also, Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all thrones, all powers, all principalities, all dominions. As we sit with Christ in those heavenly places, then we are able to walk in dominion. We are able to walk against above the forces of darkness. We are able to overcome the powers of the enemy. Why? Because we have a revelation. So when a door is open for the logos, for the word, for utterance, then we are able to reach the hearts of men. Remember, when we are communicating spiritual things, we are communicating to people who are at different levels. But the Holy Spirit, by the power that he gives, he is able to translate that same message, that complexity of that message, or that simplicity of that message, to everyone at their points of need, and they are able to understand, because the word of God, the entrance of the word of God, bringeth light and it giveth understanding to the simple. So there is a light that shines in the hearts of men. Think about the disciples on the day on the road to Emmaus, the two disciples that Jesus walked with them. And he started to expose to them, he opened the scriptures to them, showing them how, you know, from the Psalms, from the law, from the prophets, how they all spoke about the Messiah. And yet they could not understand. But at the table, when he broke the bread, the Bible says their eyes were open. So it starts with an opening of their hearts. And as their hearts were open, the Bible says that their hearts were burning. They said among themselves, were our hearts not burning as he opened the scriptures for us? Then when the scriptures are open, then the eyes are open. Then we can see Christ for who he is. The veil is taken away and we can see ourselves in Christ and Christ in God. And when we see that, then we are able to now live that life of victory. So Paul says, pray for me that a door of utterance, a door for the word may be opened, that I may make it known what is the mystery of Christ. What is the mystery of Christ? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That I can preach this, that even though I am in chains, remember he calls himself, I am an ambassador in chains. In fact, my chains have served for the furtherance of the gospel. Philippians, he tells us of how he has been able to preach to all the entire palace guard, and various people of the Roman officials have been able to come to believe the truth of the gospel. And this is the beauty of the word of God, that though, yes, on the outside, Paul was chained, but on the inside, he was not changed. On the inside, the inner man was powerful, he was effective, he was impacting churches who are far away from him, even this church that was raised up by Epaphras. He's able to impact them, he's able to write to Laodicea, he's able to write to Corinth, he's able to write to Philippi, he's able to write to all these various churches. Why? Because he knows that he is given a door of utterance. So when we pray for the servants of the Lord, we pray that God will give them a door of utterance, a door of revelation, that they are able to express truth, they are able to learn from God, they are able to learn, and they are able to also release what God has released unto them, unto the nations. And he says, what does he say, verse 4? That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. What does that mean? He's saying that the way we do it in the gospel is that first we manifest it. We bring it to life. We don't even teach fables. You know, we are not teaching cleverly devised stories. No. We ought to manifest it. That means there is a place where we are performance. Think about Jesus. The Bible says how God, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So there is a doing of this of the word that even comes before we speak. That means that there is a liberty that God expects us. When you start to demonstrate, then you have the license to teach. But you see, there are many people who are not doing, but they are teaching. And this was the challenge of the Pharisees. And that's why Jesus warned the people, do as they say, but don't do as they do. That means they were doing one thing, but they were not living what they were teaching. They will place a heavy burden on people, but they themselves will not lift a finger to lift the burden. So it is necessary to make it manifest. That he says, pray for me that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. That means we can bring to light, we can bring to revelation, we can bring to manifestation, we can fanero it as we ought to speak it. That means we bring it to manifest, but also we speak it. So as we speak the word, the God says, as you go, as you obey, the Lord accompanied and the word with signs and wonders. The Lord was present to confirm his word. His word is confirmed with signs and wonders as we go. Our obedience is what leads to the confirmation of the word. One of the things that you must understand, that God has never been limited in performing of his word. In fact, he says his eyes are watching to see that his word is performed. When we move with the word, when we move with the truth of the gospel, when we move with understanding, then we are able to walk in the guidance of the Lord. We are able to walk in truth. We are able to be guided by the Lord. Now, verse 5 tells us, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. You see, in our faith, there are those people who are outside. That means, what does that mean? These are people who are unbelievers. Now, when you're dealing with unbelievers, God is saying there is a wisdom that we use to speak to those who are outside. And it says, redeeming the time. What does that mean? It means that we know that those who are outside, those who have not come to the faith, they're actually lost. And unless we use wisdom to meet them, unless we use wisdom to reach out to them, Paul speaks that I became all things to all men that I might win some for the sake of the gospel. He became poor to reach the poor. He became wealthy to reach the wealthy. He was able to minister to both the kings in palaces. He was also able to minister to those the poor in the marketplace, to the fishermen, to the young people, to the elderly, to the mothers, to the widows. Why? Because he walked in wisdom. There's a certain wisdom in which how you do missions. You know, the wisdom that you apply in Africa will be not the same as the wisdom you'll apply in Asia. Why? Because there is a wisdom that by which God is to give you. And this calls for dependence on the Holy Spirit, on the right strategy. Maybe the right strategy might be your education. As you go for that master's, as you go for that PhD, God is using that opportunity to provide a door of utterance. Maybe it is your workplace. God has positioned you in a place of leadership, not only to influence, but also to demonstrate Christ. That is a wisdom of Christ. That wisdom of Christ is what enables us to redeem the time. Redeeming the time here means redeeming, bringing, buying back. We've lost time, yes. Indeed, and believers, many have lost time. But you see, in God, we might lose the chronos, but we don't lose the kairos. Kairos are moments of opportunities. God is able to bring a fast tracking of opportunities that is able to bring you back and bring you to the place where you overtake where you're meant to be. He's able to bring that future into the present if we redeem the time. Never think that you are lost. When Jesus came to
raised Lazarus. Yes, in the natural, in the chronos, it was 4 days late, but in the supernatural, in the spiritual, he was still on time. He came, he redeemed the time, and he restored back a man who was already smelling, who was already decaying, who was already 4 days in the grave, tied up, and he brought him back to life. That was redeeming the time. Because, remember, the Bible says the days are evil. So there is even a language that we're supposed to use with those who are outside. He says, let your words always be seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt. Remember, salt is influence. Huh? Salt is the right approach. Salt has to be in the right quantity. But then also, we always need to speak with grace. What is grace? Grace is according a heart that understands where people are at, but also offers them the mercy of God to draw them out of where they are lost in. So when we are seasoned with grace, when we bring our words with grace, then we know that, yes, we want them saved. We balance our message to the point that they are able to see there is hope. You know, it's possible to just condemn and condemn and condemn, and someone will be just like, oh, there's no hope for me. But you see, when you show grace, when you teach grace, when you release grace, when you show long suffering, yes, this believer is up and down, but when the grace, when they encounter the grace of God, then they are able to be established in truth. And the Bible says that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Every one of us must have a language. You must know how to answer. And this is by the Spirit. In fact, Jesus says, in those days you'll be brought before trial, before kings. Don't worry what to say beforehand, because in that very moment you shall be taught what to say. There is a wisdom in words. Many times, even when I start to speak, I'm not at times even clear of what I will speak, what I will share. But as I start, I am taught. There is a teaching that comes from the words of Christ. There is a teaching that comes from the Spirit. Paul says we speak spiritual things with spiritual words taught by the Spirit. And when we understand that, then we release life. This is why we say this is Spirit and life. We are releasing Spirit and life. It is from the womb of the Spirit that we release the life-giving words. Learn to activate yourself. Learn to activate yourself through prayer, through study of the word, through fasting. Always being in worship, and then also to speak. Then God will give you the wisdom. In fact, Peter speaks of how we speak. We must be always ready to give an answer to everyone for the reason as to why we believe. So there is a defense of the gospel. But even in that defense, we are called to administer it with grace, to administer it with love, to administer it with truth. May God give us insight and understanding into all these things. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. Thank you for everyone that has taken a moment to listen to your word. The Lord, you release life, you release grace, you release the power of the Spirit that we can honor, we can trust in you, we can depend upon you. We can look unto you have never failed, and you will never fail in our lives. We honor you, we exalt you, and we magnify you. Thank you for my brothers, my sisters. Watch over them. Let them continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant. Let them also pray for us, that a word, a door of utterance be opened, that the divine expression of the Christ, the mystery of Christ, will be revealed, and we continue to understand and to make him manifest to the world, to the nations, and in our families. We honor you, we exalt you, and we magnify your holy name. May your name be exalted and be magnified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom. And have a blessed, blessed day. Bye-bye.